scripture reading. If you want to read along, it's in the bulletin here. It'll be two passages. First one, John 14, 1 through 3. Now, these are the words of Jesus, and we were studying earlier this morning about the promises in the Bible. So this promise here, if he said it, we can believe it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the second one is Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Kelly, please come and share.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? It's coming through there? Okay, good. I want to make mention to something that I was reminded during the children's story as that jet flew over. By the way, it was perfect timing, huh? that also we need to honor our veterans. I would like to do that at this point. How many veterans do we have here? Would they please stand? There's got to be some veterans here. Yes, 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 thank you. Thank you. Let's remember to thank these gentlemen for their service. That children's story was perfect for what I'm going to be sharing here. I think it's a good idea that we all imagine what heaven's going to be like. How many here at one point in their life thought that going to heaven was like playing harps and sitting on a cloud? Yeah, there's few, yeah. Not very appealing, huh? I mean, since I've gotten older and have attempted to play a few instruments, I think it would be fun to play a harp, but not 24/7 on a cloud. And how many thought that going to heaven would be listening to a sermon 24/7? I mean, I'm the only one? Okay, well. Yes, heaven's going to be far greater than we could ever imagine. And it is a blessed hope, amen? We have this blessed hope. I suppose that I should get this little device out, turn it on, and use it. Are you ready? When you think about the second coming, what goes through your heart? What goes through your mind? Are you ready? I'm going to touch a little bit more on that a little later. I'm going to share a little bit about how I used to feel. As we look forward to the second coming, what has it been, 2,000 years? Has there been a few scoffers that said, oh, when is that going to happen? What can we base our faith on? Well, there are some promises that have been fulfilled. Well, we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, amen, great God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we, according to his, it didn't advance. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, isn't that something to get excited about? I mean, when you look around the world today and you see where it's heading, what's happening, it's like, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Well, this is a promise that Jesus himself gives to us. Well, let's look at some of the promises in the past that have been fulfilled. Here we have Noah. Remember the story of Noah? Noah was promised by God that there would be a flood and that he was going to destroy the whole world, but he wanted to save people. And he says, you build this boat and start preaching. How long did he preach for? What in the world happened? Okay, by faith, Noah, when warned about these things, not yet seen. Boy, was it not yet seen. They hadn't even seen water, rain. I mean, what are you talking about? In holy fear, yes, holy fear, that's actually an awesome reverence. I imagine there was a little bit of what we consider fear. Built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Wow, 120 years. Did God destroy the earth with the flood? Well, there's a lot of people today that say it wasn't, but there's so much evidence out there that it absolutely was. Let's look at a promise given to Abram and Sarai. That promise was that they were going to get and have a son. That son was Isaac. Now, this particular text that you find in Galatians 4:28 is one that's, it's kind of a nice promise to you and I, too. How long did they have to wait for their promise to be fulfilled? 25 years, correct? From the time they first got that promise, they waited 25 years. Did God come through it? Of course. Isaac was born, and it was the child of promise. Now, here in Galatians, Paul is saying to the Galatians, now we, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. You've looked at yourself as a child of promise. We, friends, have been adopted in to the family of God. Abraham was also promised, besides his inheritance, a land, a country. And as he went to that, he said, by faith, he said, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign land or country, and he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him. The same promise. How long did Abraham have to wait, and his descendants have to wait for that promise to be fulfilled? It was 400 years, wasn't it? Did God fulfill it? Absolutely. And we find that in Genesis. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. And if you remember how the story went when they left, yes, they were given gold, and they were given things to take with them on their journey. They came out with possessions. Well, let's cruise down into Christ time now. We don't have time for all the promises and the prophecies that were fulfilled. But when Jesus was here, he gave a promise to the disciples of the Holy Spirit. How long did they have to wait for the fulfillment of that Holy Spirit? How many days after Christ was Pentecost? It was 50 days, wasn't it? Let's look at that. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 50 days. So we have 120 years, we have 400 years, we have 50 days. These promises, no matter how long they had to wait, they were fulfilled. Christ has always fulfilled his promises. Well, let's look at a few promises that Jesus gave to his disciples and to his modern day disciples, you and I. And if I go and prepare a place for you. Now, this is the tail end of the John 14, 1 through 3, where it starts about let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what will you do? I will come again. I will come again, I will come back. This is the NIV, I guess. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with me where I am. Friends, we have a Savior that only died for us, but he wants to live with us for eternity. Forever. Hallelujah. This is a best friend. Oh, yes, it is something to get excited about. Well, let's look at another promise that came from a couple angels, I believe, possibly Jesus' own guardian angels. They also were the ones that I believe that greeted the women at the tomb. And they say, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Whoa, what a promise. They must have gotten excited. Their hearts must have been comforted with those words because their best friend is leaving. But now they've got this promise that he's coming back. Well, we've been also been given a promise of eternal life. And who gave us that promise but God himself? Let's take a look at it. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before when? Before time began. Wonderful promise. And then, again, we have another promise that's recorded in Hebrews. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Are you waiting for him? Aha, salvation's coming. Salvation's coming. And so we have this prophetic word. Confirmed or assured, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We have the prophetic word. Most of prophetic scripture has been fulfilled. I want to take just a few minutes to do a quick review of Revelation. How do you do that quickly? Well, we're going to try. Chapter 1 pictures Jesus with white hair, white as snow, and eyes like fire flames. And he's seen walking among the candlesticks. Chapters 2 and 3 are about the seven churches. And when you study the seven churches, and the churches are different characteristics down through time, but they were all churches in that area at that time. But the churches represented different types of churches and their characteristics down through the Christian era, right up to the time that we're in. And you all know we're in the last church, the church of Laodicea. There's no other churches, friends. That's it. You get to chapters 4 and 5, and you picture the throne room. Now, the throne room, out of the throne room comes all the prophetic things pictured in Revelation. Beautiful study. You get to chapters 6 and 7, and it talks about the seven seals. And when you talk about the seven seals, you find that they've all been fulfilled except the seventh, the sixth, right down through the sixth. The seventh seal is the return of Jesus Christ. The only seal that hasn't been. You get down to chapters 8 and 9. It talks about the trumpets. And as you study the trumpets, you'll find that they are put with the plagues. Now, the plagues do happen at the end of time. That's just before Jesus comes. You get to chapter 10. Chapter 10 talks about the little book. Now, the little book, when it was first eaten, it was sweet in the mouth. But when it hit the stomach, it was bitter. That we know is the great disappointment. Now, the great disappointment is particularly interesting to us as Seventh-day Adventists, because out of that group of people that were disappointed, the ones that stayed by and said, you know what, we need to delve into God's word and find out really what happened. Because we believe that text is at time is for something. And they did, and they found out what it was all about. I believe God did that event for a reason. And he's going to do it again. See, back then, it shook that little church. It shook little churches all around this globe, because it wasn't only in the United States that took place. But God has a plan. And he people are moved by the coming of Christ. They are. We all are. At least in this room. People out there are still skeptics. There's scoffers out there. Somehow, through the power of Jesus living in us, we hope to reach them too. Amen. Yes, chapter 10 is an interesting chapter, all right, for us. But you get to chapter 11, it deals with the country of France and the rise of atheism. As you see, as we go through Revelation, it kind of goes back and forth, but it has a movement that continues on down through time. You get to chapter 12, it's about pagan Rome. You get to chapter 13, it talks about papal Rome and the United States and the prophecies that they are a part of, and some of them still yet to be happened. Chapter 14 deals with God's people and the three angels' messages and that we are to share and what we are to do at the end of time. Chapter 15 and 16 deals with the seven last plagues, those happening just before Jesus comes. And then you get to chapter 17 and 18. And there, somewhere in those chapters, we are. Because when you get to chapters 20, it deals with the millennium, the 1,000 years, the great white throne, judgment. Chapters 21 and 22, we're coming back here, and it deals with the new earth, and there's a new heavens, and an end to all of sin. Where are we? Whew. Friends, we are so close to the end of time that we need to do all that we can to not only bring ourselves closer to Jesus, but our friends and neighbors and loved ones that still are outside of the family of God. Jesus tells John in chapter 22, "Look, I'm coming soon." Your NIV, no, I mean your King James and New King James, it would say, "I'm coming quickly." And he says that several places. Here's another one. This is in Revelation 22, verse 12. "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to that, what they have done." And then on verse 20, we have, "He who testifies to these things, yes, says yes, I'm coming soon." Well, if Jesus has been right spot on all of his promises and prophecies through time, can we take his word on this? Amen, amen. Do you have confidence and assurance? "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses." That's pretty straightforward. So can you be assured today of his promise of returning and taking us home someday? You know, there's scoffers out there. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Well, let's just look at the Hall of Faith and see how they dealt with it. "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Even Samson is mentioned in the Hall of Faith. You know what? They looked at this as, "It's not my home." There's a song, isn't there? "It's not my home, I'm just a passing through." Yeah, that's the mindset we have to have. We can get so wrapped up in day-to-day life, we can miss what's really important. We need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Check this out in Luke 21:34, it's 21:34. He says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly." Well, you know, today I'm not worried too much about the carousing or the drunkenness. Hallelujah, praise God for that. Those days are past, they're gone. But the one that gets to me a little bit is, and I highlighted in my notes here, the cares of this life. What? The cares of this life grouped in with those two other, obviously, corrupt ways of life? There's no doubt that when you're carousing, you're not punching your ticket to heaven. And it's pretty obvious if you're drunk, you're missing out. But the cares of this life, we got to take care of things in this life, don't we? How is it that we can be taken unexpectedly? How could that day come upon us doing what we got to do anyway, the cares of this life? Oh, there is a way, friends. Hallelujah. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But let's take a look at the days before flood. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Same way in the day we're here. Life is going to go on. People are going to be eating and drinking and marrying on that day when in the sky is a small, it starts as a dark spot in the sky, is about the size of a man's hand. Whew. Boy, I tell you. Well, the text goes on to say, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. I ask again, are you ready? Does a little wave of fear pass through your heart? Now, earlier I said I was going to touch on this again. I'm going to take that time to do that. When I was a kid, growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, had wonderful parents, took us to church every week. I remember thinking that I must have been a teenager, I don't know. I used to think about, whoa, what if the Lord came? And a little fear went through me, like, man, I don't know if I'm ready. I was scared, I guess. At the time, I didn't know. I'll share this with you today, but I believe that's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, you got to be concerned here. I really do. You got to do something different. Now, I look back from today and look back over my life, and I can see the difference of how I was living then to how I'm living now. Back then, my parents took us to church every Sabbath. But that was it. There was a time when we were little kids when mom and dad had lots of time because mom was at home with us kids. We used to have family worship every night. Well, as life got going and kids got off to school, mom went back to college, got whatever she needed to go to work. And so both parents are working to send us through Christian Seventh-day Adventist schools. And that's the cares of life started pushing out that time with God. And it was a slow process. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back from this walk that I have with the Lord, I see just what took place. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, it's so important that we spend quality time with God. Remember the three-legged stool? Bible study is one leg. Prayer, dialogue prayer. Prayer that you're actually taking time to meditate and talk with God on a personal level. I know a lot of us did that this last Monday when we were lifting up Liam in prayer. We were having that dialogue prayer like That's so important, friends. And then sharing and witness, that other leg of the three-legged stool. You take one of those legs away, and what's that stool going to do? Fall over. Our lives will fall over too, friends. We need all three. And really, one of the most important ones that doesn't seem that important at times when we're growing up in Christ is that last one, sharing and witnessing. Sharing and witnessing builds up our own relationship with Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Well, it's a privilege, friend of ours, of yours and mine. It is a privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, that's a privilege. The Christian is in the world as a representative of Christ for the salvation of other souls. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. We've got to die to self, friends. If you have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, you are to forget yourself and try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ. Tell of his goodness. Do every duty that presents itself. Wow. Did you catch that? Do every duty that presents itself. I can remember thinking, well, there's plenty of other people that can do that. Or, wow. Carry the burden of souls upon your heart and by every means in your power, seek to save the lost. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and the labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. The graces of the Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions deepen. Your love be made perfect. More and more, you will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure, noble, and lovely. Wow. Oops, I forgot to push the button, didn't I? Okay, friends, make every effort to keep open the communion between Jesus and your soul. Let me read that again. Make every effort to keep open the communion between Jesus and your soul. Those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting. Do I need to read that one again? Yeah. We want you all in prayer meeting, friends. And bring your neighbors, too. Faithful to do their duty and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can. They will improve every opportunity of placing themselves where they can receive the rays of light from heaven. Are you ready to make that commitment? That commitment of spending time with Jesus every day. If you're not doing it already, I'm sure most of you are. But if you're one that still hasn't done that, oh, I encourage you, friends. There's not enough time left to be dilly-dallying. Christ is coming soon. If you are ready to make that commitment today, and you are ready to invite Jesus to live out his life in you, are you? Amen. Are you ready? I heard one amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I see my grandson raising his hand. Awesome. Then in our closing song, it says, I think it's entitled, Live Out Your Life Within Me, or Live Out His Life in Me. Let's sing it together and mean what we're saying. Let's invite Jesus into our hearts to live every day. Start your day with him. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your family. Oh Lord, thank you for the blessed hope. I pray, Father, that each one here, each one of us, will invite you anew into our hearts every morning, where we can grow closer to the likeness of Jesus, that he can live out his life in us. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have just one announcement. How many have enjoyed these beautiful flowers up here? Aren't they beautiful? They're real roses. They were used in the UCC ball. And Andy has said that they're going to get thrown out. So they're for all of you. If you want to take some home, take them. Otherwise, they're chucked. So after the service, come forward and help yourself to flowers. Thank you. And God bless.